నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 7 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ లార్డ్ శివ సేవ్స్ ద యూనివర్స్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 23, 24, 25, 26. So first I'll read the text number 23 and 24, then I'll read 25. Text number 23. Gunamayya swashaktyasya sargastit apyayan vibho datse yada swadrugbhuman బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు శివాభిదాం. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ఓ లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎఫల్జెంట్ అండ్ సుప్రీం. యు క్రియేట్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ బై యువర్ పర్సనల్ ఎనర్జీ అండ్ యు అజ్యూమ్ ద నేమ్స్ బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు అండ్ మహేశ్వర వెన్ యు యాక్ట్ ఇన్ క్రియేషన్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ అన్నిహిలేషన్. పర్పోర్ట్: దిస్ ప్రేయర్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ అఫర్డ్ టు లార్డ్ విష్ణు, ద పురుష who in his incarnations as the guna avataras assumes the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. Text 24. Tvam brahma paramam guhyam sadasad bhava bhavanam nana shakti birabhatas tvamatma jagadishwarah. Translation: you are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Purport: this prayer is offered to the impersonal Brahman, which consists of the effulgent rays of Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the supreme personality of Godhead. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. When Lord Shiva is worshipped as Parabrahman, the worship is meant for Lord Vishnu. Text number 25. Tvam Shabdayonir Jagadadiratma. ప్రాణేంద్రియ ద్రవ్య గుణ స్వభావ కాలక్రతు సత్యమృతం చ ధర్మ త్వయక్షరం యత్త్రివృద్ ఆమనంతి. ఓ లార్డ్, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination and the two religious systems called truth and truthfulness. You are the shelter of the syllable Om, which consists of three letters, Om. Text number 26. Agnir mukam te kila devatatma kshitim vidur loka bhavangri pankajam kalam gatim te kila devatatmano dishascha karnau rasanam jalesham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O father of all planets, learned scholars know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are yours, are your ears, and Varuna, master of the waters, is your tongue. Purport: in the Shruti mantras it is said, Agnis sarva devata. Fire is the aggregate of all demigods. Agni is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is through Agni or fire that the Lord accepts all sacrificial oblations. seek the blessings of the devotees before trying to attempt to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this series of verses which we are reading today, the churning of the milk ocean, the dangerous poison called halahal has come out. So when the poison came out, everyone was in so much danger that they actually approached the approached Lord Shiva. In fact, it was described in one of the previous verses. All the demigods, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, they approached Lord Shiva. So, and then when they approached Lord Shiva, all the demigods are offering this series of prayers to Lord Shiva. They are glorifying Lord Shiva in so many ways before requesting Lord Shiva to consume the poison. So, one of the theme which I wanted to speak from the series of verses is, like, as you have been reading this pastime of churning of the milk ocean, we saw that how that the demigods and demons, they had difficulty in every stage of this project of churning the milk ocean. In fact, right from the starting, they had difficulty in, like, lifting the mountain, lifting the Mandara mountain. They needed the help of the Lord in lifting the Mandara mountain. And then when they started churning the Mandara mountain started going down. So Lord had to appear as Kurmadev, and then Kurmadev had to support the mountain from below. And then when they started churning, because there was no support from the top, so the mountain was going like here and there. It was not steady motion was not there. So Lord Ajita appeared with 1,000 arms, and then he actually gave support from the top. And then they also needed the assistance of the Supreme Lord in churning the milk ocean. So we saw that how the Supreme Lord is exhibiting his powers in helping the demigods in this churning of the milk ocean in different forms. But now, after they started churning the ocean, now this dangerous poison halahal has come out. So it is actually Lord could have easily consumed the poison. There is no difficulty for the Supreme Lord Ajita, incarnation of Lord Vishnu, to consume the poison. But then he chose to approach Lord Shiva, because he wanted to give credit to Lord Shiva for consuming the poison. So in this way we see the Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact in every pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the greatness of the Supreme Lord, how the Supreme Lord exhibits its powers in protecting the devotees. Like Lord Ajita is protecting the demigods. But almost every pastime where the Lord exhibits his greatness, it is also filled with the Lord's sweetness, in the form of Lord wanting to give credit to the devotees, Lord wanting to serve his own devotees, and wanting to make his devotees more famous than himself. So this combination of greatness and sweetness of the Lord makes the Lord actually so unique. So in fact, in every pastime of the Lord, this quality of Lord's greatness and sweetness is actually present. So we see that in this pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. So I thought I will speak something about this quality of the Lord's sweetness, or the Lord's nature of being bhaktavatsal to his devotees. Because in this series of verses, we see that how Lord wants to give credit to Lord Shiva. That is why he told the demigods to approach to Lord Shiva for consuming the poison. In fact, this quality of bhaktavatsal is one of the most important qualities of the Lord. I remember that, I think last year when His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj had come, he was giving the Bhagavatam class, he was telling this point. He was quoting from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He was saying that the Supreme Lord has many qualities, but all the qualities of Supreme Lord are not complete if the Lord has this quality of being Bhaktavatsal or being dear to the devotees. All the qualities of the Lord, they'll become complete only because of this quality of being Lord having this quality of Bhaktavatsal. So we can see again various pastimes, like for example, like we celebrate Krishna's Janmashtami, Krishna's birth, only once in a year. But then we celebrate Krishna's Damodar Leela for one full month. Krishna's Damodar Leela is basically signifies how the Lord comes under the control of His own devotees. So Krishna's birth we celebrate for one day, but then Krishna's Damodar Leela we celebrate for one full month. In fact, I think Gaurangpur or somebody was telling in one class, saying that when Lord Brahma had the opportunity to witness how the Supreme Lord created this material world. So he had the opportunity to witness this pastime of Lord's creating this material world. Because many people want to know that, how the Lord has created. People want to believe, who is the creator of this world? There is a creator who has created him. So they want to see in action how the Lord has created. So Lord Brahma, he had the opportunity to witness how the Lord has created this material world. But then Lord Brahma is more astonished by the pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd boys. Krishna trying to eat the remnants of the cowherd boys. Cowherd boys would eat something and then they would give it to Krishna. So Krishna would eat that. So Lord Brahma, although he had the opportunity to witness the Lord's creative pastimes, he was more astonished to see the Lord's pastime with his cowherd boys. So he was more attracted by the sweetness of the Lord than by the greatness of the Lord. In fact, I was reading this book written by Shrutakirti Prabhu. Shrutakirti Prabhu writes in his, I think, the foreword. He says that Shrutakirti Prabhu, he had the opportunity to serve as a personal servant of Srila Prabhupada for 2 years. So he said, like, I have seen so many facets of Srila Prabhupada. He had the opportunity to closely watch Srila Prabhupada. So he had seen so many different emotions and facets of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada giving lectures and arguing with different people, defeating the Mayavadis, chastising the devotees. And then Shrutakirti Prabhu says, but although I have seen so many facets of Srila Prabhupada, but especially Prabhupada's aspect of sweetness, Prabhupada caring for the devotees, or Prabhupada giving some small detail, attention to small details, Prabhupada serving his own devotees. So this Prabhupada's aspects of sweetness, mercy and compassion, these aspects of Srila Prabhupada are actually more memorable for me than the other aspects of Srila Prabhupada. I remember the Prabhupada's mercy and compassion, kindness, more than other aspects of Srila Prabhupada. And then he says that he has given lectures for so many years about Srila Prabhupada in so many places. And his realization is that devotees love Prabhupada's aspect of sweetness, kindness, compassion and mercy more than other aspects of Srila Prabhupada. So that is the nature of the Lord and the devotees. This quality of the Lord's being kind to the devotees, that attracts the actually hearts of the devotees more than the Lord's greatness. In fact, there are few examples of this. There's one particular example in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is spoken by Devahuti to Lord Kapila Dev. So we see in third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev instructs Devahuti in so many verses. In fact, Lord Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti spans almost 7 or 8 chapters, chapter 25 to 32, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the third canto. So all those Kapila Dev instructs Devahuti on devotional service, on Sankhya Yoga, on the creation of the Lord. So sometimes, in fact, those sections are like they are very philosophical. Sometimes it becomes difficult to read since there is so much of philosophy is there. So after hearing all those various chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Devahuti starts speaking to Kapila Dev. So the first verse which Devahuti speaks to Kapila Dev is very interesting. The very first verse Devahuti says, Atapyajonta salileshayanam bhutendriyartatma vayam vapuste guna pravaham sadashesha bijam dadyau swayam yajjata rabja jata. Devahuti is saying, Atap ajonta shalile shayanam. Lord Brahma is known as Aja or unborn because he takes birth from the lotus flower which grows from the abdomen of the Supreme Lord, which grows from your abdomen. And then he says, Bhutendriyatatma vayam vapuste. She's saying that your body is the source of bhuta, all the material elements and all the senses and all the sense objects. Vayam vapuste. And your body is the source of all the three modes of material nature, guna pravaham. The stream of the three modes of material nature emanate from your body. And then she is saying, but although Lord Brahma is known as unborn, although he took birth from your navel, but he had to meditate upon you in order to see you. Lord Brahma, although he was born from the Supreme Lord, in order to see his own father, he had to meditate upon the Supreme Lord. But then Devahuti is saying, but I am just a common woman. How is it that you have taken birth from my womb? In fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport, he's actually paraphrasing Devahuti. What Devahuti is saying is that it is not very astonishing to me that you are speaking this Sankhya philosophy in order to deliver me. So Lord Kapila Dev spoke this Sankhya philosophy. Devahuti is saying that it is not very astonishing to me that you spoke this Sankhya philosophy for delivering me. But what is really astonishing is that you have taken birth from my womb, although I am just a common woman. So that is actually most astonishing to me. So we see that all these chapters which Kapila Dev spoke, they are like such heavy philosophy. In one sense, like we find it difficult to understand. So that is like the greatness of the Lord speaking the Sankhya philosophy. But from the point of view of Devahuti, she is saying that what is really astonishing to me is that although you have given such a big lecture on Sankhya philosophy, but actually what is astonishing is that you have taken birth from my womb. I am just a common woman. You have taken shelter of my womb. So in this way, Devahuti is more astonished by the Lord's Bhaktavatsal nature than by speaking of the Sankhya philosophy. See, we even see that when Srila Prabhupada's disciples, when they speak about Srila Prabhupada, almost most of our disciples, they speak about how Srila Prabhupada appreciated something or gave some, how expressed their kindness, how Prabhupada expressed his kindness upon him. Like a few months back, Solanas Bhagavat Maharaj, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he came and spoke. When he was speaking about Prabhupada's pastimes, he spoke about that pastime of Srila Prabhupada calling him in the middle of the Guru Puja, Prabhupada prescribing some medicine to him with such excitement. Although Bhagavat Maharaj, he was such a big scholar, he was speaking that pastime of Srila Prabhupada with so much enthusiasm. So we see how this quality of Lord's Bhaktavatsal nature attracts the devotees more than the Lord's greatness. And then we have another example, again from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the third canto, there is a chapter called Calculation of Time from the Atom. So how the time is calculated from the atom? So there it is said, atomic time is the time covered by the sun in passing over an atom. And then Maitreya Rishi, he starts defining, he first defines what is atomic time. And then he says that when you combine six atoms together, that is called a hexa-atom. And the time required to integrate the one hexa-atom is called one truti. And then he says, so two truti is equal to one lagu, like that. He starts building up. And then he says, then he comes to the point of what is one parardha. One parardha is the half-life of Lord Brahma. So he starts from atomic time and then he comes to the level of one parardha. That is half-life of Lord Brahma. So what is half-life of Lord Brahma? That is 50 years of Lord Brahma. So 1 year of Lord Brahma, 12 months, and it contains 12 months. Each month has one day. One day of Lord Brahma contains 12 hours of daytime, 12 hours of nighttime. As you know, 12 hours of Lord Brahma is equivalent to 1,000 yuga cycles. So in this way, one parardha is calculated. And Lord Brahma's lifetime is dvi parardha. That is 311 trillion and 40 billion years. Something like that. So then, after defining right from atomic time to dvi parardha, then Maitreya Rishi is saying this particular verse. He says, Kaloyam dviparardhakyo nimesha upacharyate. This dviparardha, or the lifetime of Lord Brahma, is less than 1 second for the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Avya kritasya anantasya hyanadir jagadatmana. That Supreme Lord Vishnu is the unchanging, unlimited Lord who is the cause of all causes. For him, dviparardha of Lord Brahma is less than 1 second for Lord Vishnu. And then Maitreya Rishi says, Kaloyam paramanvadir dviparardhanta ishvarah naiveshitum prabhurbhumna ishvaro dhamamaninam. But this, and then he says, that right from the atomic time to dviparardha, that is the lifetime of Lord Brahma, everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Everything is under the control of the time. But this time is controlled by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then he says, time controls everyone who is bodily conscious, right from the bottommost planet to the Satyaloka. So this is the, in this way, the power of time is described. How the time controls everything from atomic time to the lifetime of Lord Brahma. But this time is controlled by the Supreme Lord. So this is the actually greatness of the Supreme Lord, how he is controlling the time, which controls everything. In fact, like time is like, just like clouds. Clouds, they carry different droplets of water. And then they appear huge. But these clouds are, destroyed by one gush of wind. So similarly, a person may accumulate so many material assets, and this may appear very huge, like a big cloud. But then with one, just like with one gush of wind, the whole cloud is destroyed. Just by the act of time, all these material assets will be destroyed. Or it is said, the clouds are carried by the wind, but the same wind, in another form as storm, it actually destroys the same cloud. So similarly, like we may, in due course of time, one may accumulate so many material fortunes, but with one shot, by the power of time, everything will be taken away. Like, I think one devotee was giving this example. He was saying that how, like in, people are so conscious of the time, people actually try to control the time, not knowing that time controls everything. Like in Japan, people are so conscious of the time that if the trains come even few seconds late, that all the railway employees, they come out and then they start apologizing for the delay. They try to control, but then actually, they are actually being controlled by the time. So in this way, this is the power of time, but then Lord Shiva in his Rudra Geet, he's speaking about this greatness of time personified and the sweetness of the Lord. He's saying, Yatra nirvishta maranam krutanto nabhi manyate. Vishvam vidvam shayam virya shaurya visforjita bruva. Lord Shiva is saying, time personified, the invincible time, simply by the rising of his eyebrows, it can destroy everything. Time is definitely so powerful, and even to destroy the civilizations and empires, it is not that time personified needs to put so much of effort. That simply by the rising of the eyebrows, that it can destroy everything. But then it is said, Yatra nirvishta maranam krutanto nabhi manyate. But the same time personified will never touch the devotees of the Lord who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the greatness of the Lord, who is controlling the time, which destroys everything simply by the eyebrow, simply by raising of the eyebrows. But the same time personified will never touch the devotees of the Lord. Or in other words, whatever devotional progress a devotee makes, that is never destroyed by the time. Because devotee may leave his body, but then the devotional advancement is never destroyed by the time. So this is the greatness of the Supreme Lord and the sweetness of the Lord. In fact, this particular, that how devotional service is not destroyed. Like sometimes, like one may, like we hear, like just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that whatever state of consciousness one has at the time of death, he will attain that kind of body in his next life, Krishna says. Like sometimes one may wonder, that, okay, we may be practicing devotion, but suppose at the time of death, suppose if we happen to think of something else other than Krishna, then will we get, suppose if we think of a dog at the time of death, so maybe we'll take birth as a dog, one may wonder. Like one One student was saying that he was preparing for the exam. He prepared, studied nicely, but then just on the day of exam, he became so much tensed that at the time of exam, he forgot everything what he studied. So he came, then he was like stressed out. He was lamenting so much that I studied so hard and then I couldn't remember anything in the exam. Was like crying. But then, when people correct the question papers, they only see what is written in the question paper. And they will give marks based on what is written in the question answer paper. They will not see that how the student has actually studied nicely. So this is like the flaw in the mundane educational system. They see only what is there in the answer paper. They may not see how the student has put effort. Although he may be, one sense, he may be very knowledgeable, but somehow on the day of the exam, he forgot everything. After that, he may know more things. But then the mundane educational system, they only see what is there, what the person has written in the answer paper. But then Krishna's examination system is not like this mundane examination system. Like in the fourth canto, this episode of Puranjan, when Narada Muni is narrating the story of Puranjan, he's saying that how this King Puranjan, at the time of his death, he was actually thinking of his wife. So because he was thinking of his wife, the next birth, he took birth as a woman. There is a chapter called Puranjan Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. So he became a woman in his next life. But then, although he became a woman in his next life, but then he was born as the daughter of King Vidarbha. And he got married to a great devotee called Malayadvaja. Because Prabhupada says that although King Puranjan was thinking of his wife, so because of that he became a woman, but then he also performed so many pious activities in his previous life. So Lord also took note of those pious activities. So because of that, he not just became a woman, but then he took birth as a daughter of a great king. And he got married to a great devotee. So Lord, he does not simply see what is the consciousness of the person at the time of death. He does not see what he has written only in the answer paper. He also sees the preparation he has done throughout his life. That is why Puranjan also became he took birth as a daughter of a great devotee. So that is the nature of the time personified, or the nature of the Lord. He sees, he is so dear to the devotees. And then the third example, again from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Jay and Vijay are cursed by the four Kumaras, So Lord Vishnu, the Lord of Vaikuntha, comes to know that his two doorkeepers are cursed by the great sages, the four Kumaras. So then he immediately rushes to the spot. He wants to pacify the four Kumaras. He wanted them not to curse them anymore. He felt that maybe the four Kumaras will burn his doorkeepers to ashes by their anger. So he wanted to pacify the four Kumaras. So he immediately rushes to the spot. So when he comes there, in one particular verse, it describes the beauty of the Lord. It is said, Atro pasrishtam iti chotsmitam indiraya. When the Lord Vishnu appears there, Lord Vishnu's beauty, being many times magnified by the intelligence of his great devotees, defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune as being the most beautiful woman of the Vaikuntha planets. And then it is described, Lord Brahma says, this Supreme Lord is worshipable by me and is worshipped by Lord Vishnu and by all the other devotees. When the four Kumaras saw this Lord Vishnu, they offered obeisances to Lord Vishnu. They looked at the form of Lord Vishnu with unsatiated eyes, and then they joyously offered their obeisances to Lord Vishnu. So there, especially it is described, Lord Vishnu's beauty defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune as being the most beautiful woman. So Lord, the goddess of fortune is considered to be the most beautiful woman both in the material world and in the spiritual world. So she has that pride. But then, when Lord Vishnu appeared, she defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune as being the most beautiful woman. So that is why Lord is known as Madan Mohan, because he actually enchants the heart of Kamadev, Cupid personified. But then, Lord Krishna is also known as Madan Daha. Sometimes it is described that how Lord Krishna is captivated by the beauty of Srimati Radharani. So there it is described that in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu is actually more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. But in the Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani is more beautiful than Lord Krishna. Why? Because in the Vaikuntha planets, the devotees of the Lord, they want the Supreme Lord to be more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. But in the Goloka Vrindavan, the devotees want Srimati Radharani to be more beautiful than the Supreme Lord. And because Lord is Bhakta Vatsal, so he is more beautiful than the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets, and he makes Srimati Radharani more beautiful than himself in the Goloka Vrindavan. So even the Lord's exhibition of his opulences is actually according to what the devotees want. So that is this thing that Lord's sweetness actually overpowers Lord's greatness. Lord exhibits his greatness according to what the devotees want. So here also, in this series of verses, we see that how Lord is actually, he wants to give credit to Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is considered to be the greatest devotees of the Lord. So let us see one great quality of the Lord. What is that greatness of the Lord which makes the Supreme Lord attract himself to Lord Vishnu? Becomes attracted to himself to Lord Vishnu. Because of that, Lord Vishnu is attracted by Lord Shiva. So this greatness of Lord Vishnu is again described in the fourth canto. It is described that when Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, when she goes to the sacrificial arena of Daksha Prajapati, so she sees that Daksha is actually performing a big yajna, and in that yajna, Daksha is actually offering oblations to many demigods. But then she sees that Daksha is not offering oblations to Lord Shiva. So she becomes very much, actually, it was very insulting. She could not take. And then she saw that how Daksha is actually insulting Lord Shiva, criticizing Lord Shiva in so many ways. So there, Sati is speaking to Lord Shiva. Sati says, you are actually supposed to be twice born, Dvija. So one who is twice born means he is actually learned in the Vedic literatures. So he knows, he can distinguish what is good and what is bad. So Sati is saying, you are supposed to be twice born. That means you should be knowing what is good and what is bad. But then, you are actually criticizing Lord Shiva, who not only sees, who sees not just the good qualities in a person and neglects the bad qualities, but he magnifies a small good quality as a great good quality. And you are finding fault with such a great personality as Lord Shiva. In this, because of finding fault with such a great personality as Lord Shiva, you are the worst of all bad persons. So Prabhupada says, like common people, they see both the good qualities in a person and they also see the bad qualities in a person. But above the common people are the saintly persons who are like honeybees, who actually only see the good qualities in a person. Who are like honeybees, just like, although there may be garbage everywhere, honeybee only looks for the honey. So similarly, saintly persons, although a person may have many bad qualities, saintly persons will want to only look for the good qualities. But even among the saintly persons, even there are some rarest of rare saintly persons who see a small good quality and magnify it like anything. Such saintly persons are the best among all the saintly persons. And such saintly persons are very rare. And Lord Shiva is on that category of saintly persons who is like rare among the saintly persons. Because Lord Shiva sees a small good quality and magnifies it like anything. Like once, there was a demon called Vrikasur. He actually performed austerities to please Lord Shiva. And then when Lord Shiva appeared, he asked that, I want to get a boon. Whomever I touch upon their head, that person should actually die immediately. So Lord Shiva knew that this demon is actually praying to him because he wanted to kill his enemy by getting this boon. But although Lord Shiva knew the intention of this demon, but still Lord Shiva saw the good quality of him trying to please him. So he actually granted the boon. So Lord Shiva saw the bad quality as the good quality. So that is the position of Lord Shiva. Like recently, few months back, like Solness Radhanath Maharaj, he was addressing the memorial ceremony of one particular devotee who passed away. So this devotee is the father of two devotees in our congregation. So in that memorial ceremony, Solness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, actually this particular, that person who passed away, the devotee who passed away, so when his two sons became devotees, so he was actually very much against Krishna consciousness. So once he saw that his two sons performing abhishek to the Lord, so that time he said that, I have educated you so much, but after getting so much education, you are just doing only this thing. Have I educated you, after all, to perform this particular activity? Like that is. So it is like a very heavy, it is like nonsense, it is like a directly criticizing the sons performing devotional service, like directly doing abhishek of the lordships. It's like anybody, any normal person, like any person, you would see that this person is like a demon, is criticizing the devotional service of performing abhishek to the Lord. So Solness Radhanath Maharaj was telling this point, and then he was saying that when devotees hear such statements from their parents criticizing their sons performing devotional service, so we should not become angry with our parents. We should see that actually our parents are trying to love us. But only thing is, they do not know what is the right way to love. they are actually wanting to express their love towards the sons, but then because they do not know what is the right way to love them, so we should see that intention of that person trying to love us. So we should not become angry with the parents, but at the same time we should stick to our devotional service. So it's, in one sense, of course, he later became a devotee, then that's why we had the memorial ceremony. But then we see that actually, like, this person criticizing the sons performing devotional service, it is like a bad quality. But then Sulanas Radhat Maharaj was seeing that bad quality as the good quality, as that father trying to express love towards the sons. He was seeing that intention. So this is like the good, this is the greatness of Lord Shiva, who was seeing the bad quality as the good quality, or who was seeing the small good quality and magnifying like anything. So that is the position of Lord Shiva. So because of that, Lord Vishnu wants to give credit to Lord Shiva. Like, that is why he is telling all the demigods, you better approach Lord Shiva in order to consume the poison. So this is the greatness of Lord Shiva. And lastly, like in this series of verses, the demigods are glorifying Lord Shiva in so many ways. Lord Shiva, they are glorifying the Lord Shiva, like, you are the universal like, they are saying that the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing. In one sense, like, they're saying the whole, like, you are actually expanding yourself as a universal form. Like, the sun is your eyes, the water is your semen. But then, when we see, read the Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva is actually, like, he is actually glorifying the universal form of the Lord. And Lord Shiva speaks that Rudra Gita to Prachetas, and then Prachetas simply desired to perform devotional service to the Lord. And Lord Shiva becomes so much pleased just by the decision of Prachetas wanting to perform devotional service to the Lord. He becomes so much pleased that he comes to Prachetas and then he starts speaking the Rudra Gita. They have not even started performing devotional service. Just because they desired to perform devotional service, Lord Shiva has become so much pleased. And what to speak of, when a person starts performing devotional service to the Lord, how much more Lord Shiva will be pleased with such a devotee. Then Lord Shiva speaks Rudra Gita, and in the Rudra Gita, he exactly speaks the similar verses. He's saying that how the universal form is coming from the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And then he's saying that how Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. He says, like in the previous verse, he says that the demigods are saying that you are the source of the Shabda Brahma. But then Lord Shiva is saying, Artha Lingai Nabase. From you expand all the Vedic literatures. So we see the exact contrast there. So in this way, we saw that how that in this particular pastime, how the Supreme Lord exhibited his greatness by performing so many wonderful tasks, like giving support to the Mandara mountain from bottom and above. And then he exhibited his greatness, and then he's exhibiting his sweetness by wanting to give credit to Lord Shiva. And we saw some examples of how the Lord's bhaktavatsal nature conquers the devotees. And why the Lord wants to give credit to Lord Shiva? Because Lord Shiva is such a great person who sees the small good quality and magnifies it like anything. So in this way, this is the, you see the glory of Lord Shiva. So I'll stop here because it's already time. I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.